Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the campus grounds of Gillespie Park Elementary School. We invite you to worship, praise, fellowship, and learn of the mighty works and teachings of Christ according to the Bible that's catered to children, teens, and adults. This year's mission statement focuses on determined obedience, where we do just that and do the work as believers in Jesus Christ, creatively, accordingly, with fun and an abundance of love. We promise you, visiting us is an experience that you will carry with you for life. God bless you. Hope to see you soon.
You know, the Lord, when I say Lord, I'm talking about the maker of heaven and earth. Amen. I'm talking about the ones that were sinless but went to the cross for you so that you would have an opportunity to be forgiven. That's the Lord I'm saying. Can we put our hands together for him? Amen, amen, amen. Amen, 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 amen. I'm amazed. I'm amazed. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm amazed. I'm amazed that we went out on Christmas morning and we were able to bless some folk and we were able to do some things. And I'm amazed because I spoke to Brother John Paul. I said, Brother John Paul, I said, we're right up the street. I said, you play. We don't have any musicians. Would you come? And here's the second Sunday in a row. He's here. Amen. And he's playing. Amen. Amen. I know. And I hope he doesn't mind me sharing. I hope he doesn't mind me sharing. I know that you might have went through some adversities this morning. Amen. I know you might have gone through some things to be here. Amen. You might have had a rough morning in making it here, but I don't know how your sleeping arrangements were last night, but it was cold. Amen. And it was wet outside. Amen. And folk had to press their way to be here. But here, all nice and got it together and ready to play. Amen. And we thank the Lord for it. Amen. We thank the Lord for it. Amen. 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 We got to hang out a little bit on yesterday in the wet and in the rain and had us a good time. Amen. And actually met Brother V. Amen. And got to hang out with him from Vietnamese, amen. So he might not understand a whole bunch of English, but he's here. He said he'd be here, amen, and he's here. And so we thank the Lord for it, amen. Amen. Church is not always on Sunday. ain't always on Sunday. We got to do what we got to do. Hey, look, we got a scripture here, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 4. Amen. I know the brother Gerald has a testimony, and a little bit later on, we're going to allow him to give his testimony. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 4. If you have a church Bible, I believe they said it's on page 1011. Amen. Now, this one verse that we're reading is actually a part of a conversation that's going on, and it's going to be one of the scriptures that we talk about today. But I want you to just really, 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 really listen to this scripture. Amen. Are we all there? Anybody need any more time? Need some more time. It's no problem. 10:11, brother. Page 10:11. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 4. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 4. Amen. And it reads. Now, understand it's a continuation because it starts off with and, amen? So it's a continuation of scriptures that actually precede it. It says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, amen? Let us pray. Father God, first and foremost, we say thank you. God, again, thank you for this time, God. Thank you for this moment that you allowed us. We could have been anywhere else, God, but you allowed us to be here. And for that, God, we say thank you. Now, God, we ask and pray that this word would be shared in a way that you would have it to be done. So open up our ears and our hearts and our minds that we would receive what thus saith the Lord. Why, God? Because we need you and we can't make it without you. Every step of the way, every thought that we have, God, everything that we would even put energy to, God, we need you in everything. So, God, help us and guide us that we do what it is you'd have for us to do. For, Father, we love you and, God, we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 May be seated. So last Sunday, we talked about the gift of investment. The gift of influence. Amen. Anybody remember that? We talked about the gift of influence and how it is that we can influence someone else because someone first influenced us. Amen. We talked about how Jesus talked about the bad influence of the religious folk, of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees and how their influence. He said, hey, if you let that little bit of influence, that little bit get involved, it can mess up the whole thing. He said, so be careful of that influence. But also in turn, we learned that there's also good influence, that we can allow good influence to be a blessing unto us. But the most powerful influence is Jesus. Amen. He's the one that influences us the most. This Sunday, I want to talk about the gift of investment. The gift of investment. Whether you realize it or not, someone had to invest in you. As a parent, you're investing in your children. Now, a lot of times when we hear the word investment, we start to think of it financially, monetarily. Amen. So is there any parents here that can give me an amen that you invest in your children? And so that investment is something not necessarily that you're looking on a return for something back to you, but you're looking for a return in their life. You invested in them so that when they get older, when they grow up, that they'll have their stuff together. Correct? Is there any parents in here that want to see their children fail? Is there any parents in here that want to see their children succeed? Amen. Amen. So there's an investment. Every single one of us have this gift of investment. Every single one of us have the ability to pour into somebody else. One of the problems that we find during this day and time is that there's not enough folk that are willing to invest in someone else without expecting anything in return. Most people now only do something because they say, well, I'm going to do this so I can get something back out of it. I'm going to be involved in this so that I can get something in return. I'm going to go ahead and invest my money in something because I'm looking for money to come back to me. But what about the investment that happens that says, you know what, I'm looking to invest in something and I'm not looking for anything in return. Jesus invested in every single one of us. God created us. He allowed us to be here. But even in our faults and even in our messed up places, even where we fell short, there was an investment made because God wrapped himself in flesh, came here to this earth, sinless, and gave himself as a sacrifice, looking for nothing else in return. He says, now you have the ability to accept me. And in your accepting me, you shall be saved. This gift of investment. Here in Ephesians, it's a very familiar scripture. If you've ever had any study here in the sixth chapter, it starts off and it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And so a lot of times we always talk about that. We say to our children, we say, hey, honor thy mother and father. It says that if you don't, your life will be shortened. There's an order in how things should go. And if you don't do it, your life shall be shortened. But see, it goes and it says, not just children, but hold up, fathers. Don't provoke your children to be angry. It says, but bring them up in the Lord, in the nurture and in the mind of the Lord. So now the investment. The Bible here specifically says that as an investment, as fathers, you should invest in your children. As fathers, we should invest in our children. Okay, so now let's look at 2015. And so now when we have most fathers locked up, when we have most folk in single homes, when we have some fathers that don't have even any involvement in their children's life, then how is that commandment being fulfilled? How is the investment actually happening? And so then why do we have some things going on in life? Why do we have some things going on during this day and time that we have going on if investment is not happening? I want to encourage you today that the gift of investment is one of the most important things we can do. When we go back to the Old Testament, and you see in the Old Testament where it says, look, tell your children's children, tell your children. It said, look, let them know about what happened. There's an investment going on because I want them to know about everything that's happening, everything. Invest in your children. Take the time to teach them. Take the time to let them know who God really is. Amen. Okay, since you don't believe me, let's go to Genesis. Amen. We're going to flip a couple of pages. I want you to go to the book of Genesis. Everybody know what the book of Genesis is? Book of Genesis, 18th chapter. Amen. Book of Genesis, 18th chapter. Here we're going to find out about Abraham and Sarah. And there was a promise made to Abraham and Sarah that Sarah was going to have a child. Amen. But it was funny to Sarah because Sarah was old. I believe at this time she was 90 years old. And so she was, what? I'm about to have a baby? You tripping. Genesis chapter 18. Starting at the 14th verse, it says, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. Verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? Verse 19. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which we have spoken of him. He says, wait a minute, I know Abraham. Abraham is going to do what he's supposed to do. Abraham is going to keep the way, and he's not just going to keep the way just for the sake of keeping it, but he's going to share it with his children. He's going to invest in his people. So many times in 2015, we get busy. Anybody busy? We get busy. I'll go ahead and share me. I get busy and I run. And I'm always doing this and I'm always going there. And even when it seems as though that I'm slowing down and things are, I get a phone call, I get a text. My wife can vouch for it. Hey, I want you to come here. Can you help me out with this? Pastor, would you do this? Pastor, would you do that? And I can get so busy and doing everything else for everybody else that when I get home, I'm tired. And so when I get home and I'm tired and then my sons want to come up and they want to sit up under me and my daughters, they want to come and they want to sit up under me and everybody want to, and I can't even walk sometimes because my wife was tripping the other day because we was at home and I had been out and I came back home, and when I got home, it was like everywhere I was walking, one of the boys was following me. Everywhere that I went, he just followed me. I turned around, yeah, can I have, no, nothing. And then I walked and he just kept following me. And sometimes I get tired. And sometimes I don't feel like investing. Sometimes I don't feel like pouring back into them. But I'm not looking for anything in return for me. The investment is for them. Because the Bible tells me there's I have to invest. I don't have to rehearse a prayer with them. I want them to be able to know how to pray themselves. I don't mind telling them that this is the decision that you need to make, this is the choice you need to make, but I like for them to be able to know it for themselves. Amen. Let's look at another verse. Amen. Let's look over in Deuteronomy chapter 4. A few books over. Deuteronomy chapter 4, amen. Here in chapter 4, God's chosen people, Israel, he's talking about some obedience here. He's talking about some obedience here. 4 verses 9 and 10, amen. It says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thy eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Here we go again, where the Bible is letting us know the importance of teaching our children, the importance of investment. And so it says here, not always letting them know that everything was well and everything was straight and everything was fine, but he's talking about a situation that happened here. And more or less what he's saying is that teach your children, share your testimony with your children. So often our children always hear us not telling the whole story. I preached it one time before here. I said, it's important that we come and we hear God's preached word. But you know what people remember the most? People remember your testimony the most. People remember your testimony the most because they're able to identify something directly with you. A lot of times people won't remember the word of God. They won't remember what was preached. They might remember the scripture that it came from, but they not unless they go back and look at it some, but they will remember testimonies because they can take a testimony and readily identify it with something happening right now. Does anybody remember Minister Grant's testimony about being cured from cancer? What did we preach 3 weeks ago? Anybody remember what was preached 3 weeks ago? How many years ago have you been cancer free? 7 years ago. We remember that. But 3 weeks ago, what was preached? People remember your testimony. And so the Bible talks here. It says, look, share your testimony. Teach your children. Show them. Invest in them. Do what it is God would have for us to do. Why? Because that testimony is going to be something that's shared to another generation and to another generation and to another generation. Here in this particular verse, it says here that it talks about the fear of the Lord. It says, gather me the people together and I will make them hear my words that they may learn to fear me all the days of their lives. Let me share my testimony. Let me go ahead and tell so that they would fit all the days of their lives. It's not that our children are not going to mess up. It's not that mistakes are not going to be made. But here we go and look at this scripture and lets us know that even though all these things may happen, we can allow them to understand, look, if you're going to fear anything, fear the Lord. Do what it is he would have for you to do. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Turn over to chapter 6. Amen. Now, we hear a call to obedience when we look at chapter 4, but chapter 6, it talks about the command of love. Amen? Verse number 6, it says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto the children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest in the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Is there any an inopportune time to not tell our children about the Lord? Is there ever an inopportune time that we don't have the ability to share with our children who the Lord is, what it is that he's doing, how it is that we made it? I remember my kids, they were talking about buying something, talking about getting something. And they came and they said, well, Daddy, the children at our school said that we were rich. And I said, they said we was rich. I said, and I told them we weren't rich, but we was wealthy. I said, wait a minute. I said, first of all, you ain't. And second of all, we're not wealthy as the way that you're trying to explain it. But let me let you know, here's an opportunity to invest that God supplies all of our needs. He takes care of everything. He takes care of everything because we do our best to be obedient to him. We do our best to try to do what it is he would have for us to do. Not because of anything else. Look, I don't care what it is you have in your pocket, what it is you got in your bank account, what type of car you drive, all that other kind of stuff. That stuff don't last. The Bible lets us know those things don't last. Anybody ever seen a hearse with a trailer hitch? I ain't never seen one either. Because it ain't nothing you can take with you. When your time comes, it's your time and it's your time period. So all of these earthly things that we put together, it doesn't last. But the gift of investment, the investment that we do, work out with our children, is something that'll last them for the rest of their lives. If there's anyone as a child remembers the relationship that they had with their grandfather, with their grandparents, there's somebody in your life right now that's probably no longer here that you can think back to that they invested in you, and it's something that you recall almost on a daily basis. I know there's things that my grandparents shared with me that I almost recall on a daily basis. I didn't understand it then. I didn't necessarily like what they were saying at the time because I wanted to do something different. But now I look back on it and I go, wow, they were investing in me. This scripture that we got right here in 6, this command to love here, it says teach them diligently. No matter where you are at, no matter what's going on, there's always an opportunity to share what thus saith the Lord. Amen? Amen? Come on, one more scripture. We're going to turn over to Joshua. This is a very, 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 very familiar verse. Joshua was placed in a situation where he said, look at here, I don't know about y'all. He said, but as for me and my house, I don't know what you got going on over there. I don't know what everybody else is saying. I don't even care about, but for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That gift of investment, no matter how it looks, I'm going to invest in my life. I'm going to invest in my children's life. I'm going to invest because I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to put him first in everything that I do. I don't know about you, but the question here today is, who are you investing in? A lot of times we look at somebody on the outside and we say, you know, they're not worthy. I'm not going to spend my time. But who are you investing in? There ought to be somebody that you can look at. You said, you know what? I'm investing in this person. I'm not investing in them because I'm looking for a return, but I'm investing in somebody because I'm doing what it is God would have for me to do. I'm not blessed just to be blessed, but I'm blessed so that I can bless somebody else. Who are you investing in? Still don't think it's important? Let me go ahead and share this with you. We started off talking about this investment. Do you know somebody invested in you? Somebody invested in you when others walked past you. And others said you wasn't worthy to be invested in. I remember when I was given in a process of giving my life to Christ, and I was studying the Bible, and I was reading it, and I was trying to get an understanding, and I was trying to understand it with my earthly mind, and I wasn't applying faith, and so a lot of it wasn't making sense to me. It was talking about I had to believe in this man, but I had never seen this man. I didn't know nothing about him, but I just had to have faith. And they said he got up from the dead, but I didn't see him get up from the dead. But so how am I supposed to believe? I was trying to work it out in my head. And so I had questions. I had questions. And so I would ask some folk. I was working at Pete Lorillard at the time. And I would ask folk questions. And I would ask some questions, and they wasn't able to come back with some answers. They took it as if I was trying to downplay God. But I had questions. But I wasn't getting any answers. And then I came across another person who, you know, always talked about the Lord, was always involved in the church, was always talking about how good God was. And I started to ask them questions, but they wouldn't answer my questions. They say, Kevin, you just playing. You just playing. You're not. To them, I wasn't worthy to be invested in. And then I came across someone, and I said, hey, I got some questions. Would you help me in answering some of these questions? And she did. And she started answering some of these questions for me. And as she would answer one question, it would lead me to another question. And I would come back the next day, and I'd have some more questions. To the point that it got to the point, she said, I don't know the answer. She said, some things you're going to have to understand by faith. And until you put your faith, you're just not going to understand them. But someone thought that I wasn't worthy to be invested in. There's someone that God has put in your life that allows you to interact with. It's worthy to be invested in. The Bible gives us so many examples in the Gospels where Jesus had to spend time with people. He didn't walk up to them and say, I am the Lord and you must follow me. I don't see that in the Bible. What I see in the Bible is that he sat with them. He spent some time with them. Not that he had to get to know him because he's God. But he sat with them and he spent some time with them so that they would get to know him. And as they got to know him, then when he was able to say some things and speak some things, light bulbs started going off. It took time. It took time to invest in somebody. But in our hustle and our bustle and our movement so much and so many things going on, who are you investing in? God has allowed us to make it to 2015. Regardless of whatever plans people had for this year, I want you to know that 2015 was never promised. He's allowed us to make it to this Sunday. Next Sunday is not promised. Who would you be willing to invest in? Who would you be willing to spend time with? It's wonderful to come to church. It's wonderful to come within these four walls. It's wonderful to go ahead and put on some nice clothes. We can sing, we can praise, we can share testimony, we can do all of those things. But what are we doing for the Lord outside of the church? How are we showing Jesus instead of just speaking it? How are we investing in someone else? It's personal decision time. Amen. If you're able to stand, please, please do. Investment, investment. The gift of investment. The Bible talks about there's a gift of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that gift of the Holy Spirit does not just encompass one thing, but there's many different gifts that God gives us all.
All the things.
All the things.
And there's popular gifts that we talk about, speaking in tongues and healing and deliverance and, you know, all these different things. There's all kinds of gifts that are very popular that people talk about all the time. But I believe this is a gift that everyone can participate in. I believe the gift of investment is something that everyone has the ability to do. Pastor, I don't know if I could be involved in that. I don't know if that's the area that I could work in. Well, look, let me share with you. The next time you see somebody going through, the next time you see somebody hurting,
because my worship,
do something unexpected. Do something unexpected. The next time you see somebody holding up a sign, "We'll work for food," why not just sit down and have a whole meal? If you say, "Well, no, I can't sit down and have a whole," why not go to the store, grab a whole meal and pull up to the light and say, here you go. It's January. It's cold. It's raining. I don't know what your plans are this afternoon, but hey, then maybe the next time you go to the store, grab a couple of extra ponchos. Grab a couple of hand warmers. Next time you see somebody, it's out in the rain, it's out in the cold. You never know what God has in store. Keep a blanket in the back of your car. Here's a blanket. Next time you see a coworker going through, having some issues, doing whatever, why not get him lunch?
You've been so good to me. I must worship him.
Instead of some leftover time being the time that you spend with family, why don't you purposely just go ahead and block off your calendar? Why don't you go ahead and purposely pick a day and block off a whole day, take the phone, turn it off, go put it somewhere else, and sit there and actually listen. Actually spend time talking.
Come on.
My kids said, "Hey, Daddy, what we got to do today? What we got to do today?" I said, "Well, I don't think we have anything planned. I don't think we have to go anywhere. Well, Daddy, can we build a tent? Can we build a tent at the house? And would you come in the tent and play with us?"
Thank you, Jesus. I don't know about you, but
is that how I really planned on spending my Sunday afternoon with NFL playoffs going on? No. But I don't think God allowed me to have this message and to study this for me to turn around and turn that down. The gift of investment. During this personal decision time, I want you to think about that. I want you to think about those that walked past you, those that thought you wasn't worthy to spend any time with, to invest in, to spend any money on, to do anything. Those that just thought. But then I want you to think about the person that did stop, the person that did pay attention, the person that did hear your hurt, the person that did hear your pain and said, "I'm willing to be there for you." And now I want you to think about who it is you can invest in. What opportunities has God laid before you that you could actually invest? Look, you don't necessarily have to like who you invest in. Remember, the investment is not so that you get anything in return. It's something that we're doing because this is what God tells us to do. How much of a better place would it be if we all took the time to invest in somebody else? Whether it be a family member, whether it be a stranger, how much of a better place would it be Anybody drive here with the empty seat in their car this morning? It's personal decision time. If that's you, if you say, yeah, I can think of someone that I can invest in and I want to make an effort. I want to be serious about investing in somebody else. I want to do something for someone. If that's you, would you come to this altar? I don't need to know the whole situation.